Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Conservative.
What I don't like about Washington is they're very nice to your face, and then they take a shiv or a machete and they stab it in your back. I'm a Wall Street guy, and I'm more of a front-stabbing person, and I'd rather tell people directly how I feel about them.
Liberal. Nobody talk about politics, like, don't say anything, you know.
A marriage that's been through it all.
She has filed for divorce over his naked political ambition.
These are the views of a couple in love. A couple with children. A couple with differing opinions and perspectives. A couple that survived.
He's kind of like an impetuous guy. In many ways, that's great. In some ways, it's tough when you're married.
What leads them back to each other? Communication, conversation, and a realistic outlook on the world we live in. Your hosts, Anthony and Deirdre Scaramucci. This is Mooch and the Missus.
So I'm sitting here reading Donald Trump's tweets about the Mueller report, and it's so funny.
Why?
Because he's like saying that the Mueller findings were based on Mueller's great intelligence. Meanwhile, if he discovered something that needed to be, you know, put out there that was negative,
Trump would be lighting him up like a Christmas tree.
He would be calling him like a Dumbo or whatever. But he's praising him because he didn't find anything funny.
No collusion.
Yeah, I mean, but that's what he does. But I mean, I think this is very effective for the president. So,
okay, but I mean, also they spied on my campaign. We will never forget when that came across my screen this morning. I laugh sometimes at these things. It's like so funny.
I think they did spy on his campaign, though. I mean, I know the left wing goes nuts, but I mean,
no, I'm just saying.
I think that they made a decision that they thought that there were amateurs in the Trump campaign, and they thought that there were Russians trying to meddle in the election. And so they had this holier-than-thou approach. They definitely didn't think he was going to win. And so they said, okay, great, let's spy on his campaign and make sure that they don't do anything inappropriate with a Russian governmental official or spy or something like that. And I think that's how the whole thing started. But I can tell you, as I've said repeatedly, you know, there was nothing on that campaign. And Lindsey Graham said it better than me, honey. He said that Trump can't even collude with his staff. How the hell was he going to collude with the Russians? So to me, I think he's in the free and clear. I think we got to move past this. What do you think?
Yeah. Well, Thursday, they'll release the report. We'll see what it says. And then the Dems will be mad still and think that there's something we missed or they left out. And that'll be how that goes. Moving on.
Well,
I'm glad they're releasing it, though. I think that we needed to have it and see it and make our own judgments. And
but, you know, they can't release the entire report
unredacted.
They have to, because you got to protect innocent people that may be in the report.
Right.
Let's talk about the Our Lady Notre Dame Cathedral. Yeah. What do you think there?
I think it's really sad. It made me very, very melancholy yesterday to see that. It's like very... what's the word? It's like almost kind of representing, though, I feel like, what the world is like right now. It's like burning to ash.
Well, the Western civilization is under threat, right? I mean, that's one of the big issues. And so it's a metaphor for striking right at the heart of the Western civilization. But I mean, I think the more fascinating thing that we have a tendency to forget about our history is that these buildings are actually not permanent structures. And so if you go back to the seven great wonders of the world from 7,000 years ago, the only thing standing that we can see is the pyramids in Giza. Mm-hmm. Everything else has faded, you know, and the great fire in Alexandria that took out the library, I mean, wiped out most of Greek science and most of, you know, Greek literature, ancient Greek and Egyptian literature. So you know, what we're faced with when you see a tragedy like that is a further recognition of the impermanence to everything that there is.
But what do you think started the fire?
See, I don't know. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, so I don't want to go into all of that.
No, I'm not trying to be conspirator right now. I'm just saying it's so odd that it could take out the whole structure. Like 400 firefighters couldn't deal or tame the fire. It was just like a massive thing. I'm so curious how it got so out of control.
Okay, so that actually makes a little bit of sense to me, because the fire and those buildings weren't designed to be anti-flammable, and they actually weren't designed to allow for access by firemen pursuant to a fire code.
It was so long ago, 1260, they weren't thinking about that.
They weren't thinking about that. So now, you know, all of that technology and equipment that they were trying to get into the building, they were having a hard time reaching the parts of the building they needed to extinguish the fire. So it was a combination of all of those things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I just find it so sad. I don't know. It really made me sad. It's making me sad when I look at pictures. I don't know if you saw the picture of the altar that was remaining. There was a like a gold crucifix remaining.
So I thought that was reminding me of 9/11, right?
Am I allowed to say that?
Yes, you're allowed to say that, I guess. Ilhan Omar and Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez don't want you to say that. It's going to trigger people, but...
She doesn't like Israel. I forgot.
Yeah. These are rough people. I mean, I really hope they get voted out. I mean, the one good news thing is Nancy Pelosi's daughter said that my mother is so vicious and so ruthless that she can cut your throat without you even feeling it. And by the way, metaphorically, I predict that she will cut both of their throats. They will be primaried and bounced.
Her daughter said that?
Yeah, it was one of the more beautiful things that she said. She's an award-winning documentarian.
Yeah, we met Nancy Pelosi at the White House Christmas party?
Yes.
And she told us that her daughter was a filmmaker.
Yeah, but you may not remember this part of the story, though. Alexandra Pelosi, who works for HBO, she was doing a film on campaign finance and fundraising and so forth. And so she asked to interview me. And so I had a 45-minute interview with her. And she was like, wait, what? You just said that? And wait, what? You just said that? I said, yeah, I'm telling you the truth about how this stuff works. And she put the camera down and she said, okay, listen, you know, this is not how it works in Washington. That should have been a cue for me that I was going to not be able to survive all that. But Alexandra Pelosi is an award-winning documentarian. And she said it about her mom in a way that was very complimentary.
To who?
She said to a reporter. They were asking her about what's your mom like and what's she like working in the
swamp. Supposed to be a compliment?
Yeah, because she was basically saying she knows how the game operates down here.
If one of my kids ever said that about me, I would be so upset.
Right, well, you're not conditioned for politics and you're not living in that political thing, you know?
Wow.
And
belly of the beast.
You know, the exact quote, she'll cut your head off and you won't even know you're bleeding. So I think that's going to happen to these two. Metaphorically, of course, I don't need to be in the fake news media where someone says I'm wishing any violence or anything
like
that.
You are fake news.
I certainly don't want that. I'm just saying that these two are brutal.
They should have like a bunch of Donald Trump sound bites as phone ringers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's funny. Like, I think you could definitely do that. You could definitely do that.
It would be like, Trump is crazy over and over again until you pick it up.
Or that could be your wake up in the morning. That could be your alarm. Trump is crazy.
Well, you don't need that on your phone. You just
Trump
turn on
is
the news.
Crazy.
Oh my
just
God!
Turn
could
on
you
the
imagine?
News.
So did you
Spam
watch?
Man.
I watched it this morning. Did you watch Pelosi, Speaker Pelosi, on 60 Minutes, babe?
I didn't because I was knee deep in vomit on
Sunday
night.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah, the green team.
Yeah.
Oh my God. We had that going on.
I'm going
to punch out.
No,
Neil, you want to go red again, Neil? We can start talking about your personal life, okay? You want to go
Uncle
red
Neil.
Again? Keep sending that stuff.
Listen, let me tell you my story. So Thursday last week was Nick's 5th birthday, but we went out to dinner with our family on Friday night. You know, school week was over. Bringing him out to dinner. He picked a restaurant. Everyone's there. There's like a gazillion of us. The whole time he's complaining that he wants to go home, that he doesn't feel well, that he has a stomachache. So Anthony and I think that he's BSing because he actually picked this like out of the box, kind of nice-ish fine dining restaurant. So we were there forever. So we just thought he wanted to bail because it was boring. Meanwhile, we get him home, we put them to bed, and like 1:25 a.m., I hear, "Mommy, what?" He's like throwing up in his bed, like violently all over the place.
Okay, so as
and I'm like, oh my God, I totally am such a bad mom. I was like telling him he was making it up. I dissed and dismissed him. And meanwhile, he really was legitimately sick. Anyway, cut to Sunday night. That happened to James. And it's even worse when the person can't talk to you because they just start spewing it all over the place like Monty Python.
Do you think...
So I missed 60 Minutes.
Okay, do you think...
You're not even listening.
I'm listening, but I've got to ask the central question because inquiring minds want to know to listen to this podcast.
And then, of course, I got it because I was vomited upon.
Okay, so, but do you feel guilty that you and I were giving guff to young Nicholas?
I just said that. I felt terrible.
No, but I mean, you know, like...
I felt so bad. Instead of comforting him and being maternal, I was like, you are just being a spoiled brat and you just want to leave the restaurant and you're totally fine. I should have known. I gave him a bowl of ice cream at the restaurant and he was like, I'm good. I should have known. Right then and there, he was being for reals.
Funny stuff. I'm glad that little James can projectile vomit, right? Because this kid is like a legendary, he's like a 9mm handgun when he projectile vomits, right? I mean, you're getting whole food. One of the things
I've learned about... It's like Jabba the Hutt threw
up. Yeah, exactly. It's one of the things I've learned about James's vomit is that he needs to chew more. He probably needs a few more teeth in his mouth.
Yeah, everything comes out
whole. Unbelievable.
Right?
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
I was like, oh, he had watermelon? So, there was like a whole watermelon.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
So we're going to segue back from children vomiting to
AOC
quitting Facebook. And so what do you say there?
Jim Apple.
I know. Can you imagine?
This is probably one thing I agree with her on. When you and I, everything went bad, I got off of Facebook because I was like being like annihilated on it and I couldn't take it anymore. So I just like made my account, whatever that is. It's like, it's like in limbo. So I didn't come off of it. Like my profile still exists, but I don't use it. But that's not just Facebook, it's everything. She has a point.
I think that Albert Brooks said that we're going to learn that this sort of stuff is like smoking. It's addictive to look at, but it's actually very, very bad for your health. In this case, it's bad for your mental health.
But everything she said about it,
I posted a beautiful picture of you, and I'm reading the comments on it, and it's like comments are absolutely revolting.
See, that's why don't do that to me. Just
all right, I'm going to delete the picture.
What did they say?
No, I'm not going to read them. I mean, I just find that like, the comments are revolting. The people are revolting, and you know it's fine. But that's you're getting cesspool activity on these social media pages, and you know who knows who these people are. And most of the comments, by the way, are not from verified people. If you want to clean up Facebook or Twitter, verify and digitize everybody's identity, and then what will happen is you'll have more social decorum. Okay, then before, now you have all these anonymous trolls. They can say and write whatever they want.
Like 1 million penises?
Yeah, it's a ridiculous comment, so I'm going to erase the photo.
What about Dingleberry? Absolutely nothing. Love it just the way it was meant to be.
Okay, well that's...
What about, a lot of people said Joe Biden. That's funny.
That's, some of it's funny, some of it's nice, but some of it's disgusting, you know?
Oh, like, let's see, let's find a really disgusting one. Like, like this one? Divorce court. How about that one?
I think it's just silly.
Casting couch.
Yeah, it's just silly, you know.
Biden creeping up on her.
Pisses me off, you know.
Pictures of her former boyfriends, like me. So that guy's saying I was his former boyfriend. He was my boyfriend.
Well, maybe, I don't know.
City Ched.
He's anonymous, so
17 followers.
Yeah.
He retweeted me.
Yeah.
Thanks. I mean, I look just not even good in the picture, so I yelled at Anthony, but any hoo-ha.
Don't be rude.
Yeah, just people are crazy, you know.
Okay, moving on.
The Iron Throne.
So,
all right, whatever. So let's go over these
Mooch
and the
Game
Mrs. tweets. I did, yeah.
How was it?
I watched it. I thought it was good, but not great. It was like a little dull, to be honest, comparatively to the other Game of Thrones episodes. Maybe they're just revving up, but it seemed like they were trying. I guess they were out for 2 years. They were probably trying to lay the groundwork. I thought the cool thing about it was that the characters in Game of Thrones have, by and large, been apart from everybody. And so now they're starting to converge on each other, and I think that that's pretty cool, you know?
Oh, you mean they were separate in the storyline, and now they're all coming together?
Yeah, exactly. So, you know,
I've never watched a minute.
So I gotta get you into episode one, season one, and let's see if it catches fire. You're not a science fiction person, though, so
it's not probably science fiction.
Well, whatever it is, fantasy, whatever you want to call it. It's fantasy.
It's fantasy.
Yeah, it's based not on reality.
Like Lord of the Rings and all that jazz, I could never get into it. My mom and my brother loved it. I could never hang with that. It's like so ridiculous. Who has dragons? Nobody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, exactly.
Okay, so what do you think about her quitting Facebook? Do you care? Who cares?
I think it makes sense. But
poignant.
Let's go to these tweets.
Yep.
Because they're interesting. We ask, how do you suggest kids and adults alike should use or limit social media? It's an addiction. Is it an addiction? And people are saying that it depends on their age.
It is an addiction for anyone at any age. Just not social media, but just phones in general. Like, I pick Nick up from school, and the first thing he does is literally snatch the phone from my hand. He's like, can I have your phone? And he wants to either watch some silly episode of something on YouTube, or he wants to play Mario Brothers or whatever. So it's not just social media. It's just the technology. It's like people love it. Again, we've talked about this before. I do not. And so that's everyone's biggest gripe about me, is that I'm not in touch and that I don't pay enough attention to my phone and all this stuff, because I absolutely hate it. I literally would rather talk to a human. I connect so much more with people when they put their phone down and I put my phone down.
So I think that's one of the things I learned from Celebrity Big Brother, you know, that you don't really need the phone. I'm back to it. I know you'll say that about me, but I'm really trying to be less about it.
No, I'm fine with it. The only thing that bothers me about it is if one of the kids is like trying to get your attention and I hear them call you 3 or 4 times and I'm like, okay, is he serious? I need to go in there and like
whack
intervene.
Me over the head with
something. Yeah, like wake up. Because you're not going to have a 2-year-old or a 5-year-old very long, much
you're,
longer
you're
saying,
right.
Daddy, daddy, like wanting all your attention.
Try to get off the phone if you can. I'm certainly trying to do that for myself. Two more quick things, then we're going to pop out of here. Bernie Sanders is part of the
1%. Yeah, yeah.
What do you think of that?
I just laugh because it really makes me think it's like, oh, what's good for the goose is not good for the gander. So he can shame everybody for being, you know, living the American dream and making money. So now you're going to caveat, oh, well, I made it writing a best-selling book. So if you made it on Wall Street or you made it as a movie star, then it doesn't count. It only counts because you wrote a book. And it, like, no, a millionaire or...
Despicable hypocrite. I mean, really a
is a millionaire or making
$500,000
on a
hypocrite
book is making half a...
Praying
like,
on simplistic
on.
Ideologies. A bozo
totally
hypocrite.
I totally agree. Like, dude... Get with it. If it's not good for you, then it's not good for anybody. So
what about Melania being snubbed by Vogue? What's your opinion there?
Well, I think Anna Wintour made it clear that she is someone who stands for what she believes in, and so she has her mindset on how things should go, and so she doesn't want to have her on. That's like saying, you know, like, but I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing. So do you think Anthony's distracted trying to let somebody into the building? We always get locked out of here.
Yeah. No, I'm sorry. We got Bo Dietl coming on next week's podcast. So we're going to do a little prep with him.
Okay. Anyway, it's just like, you know, you wouldn't have, I don't think Charlie Kirk would be inviting me to TP USA. You know what I'm saying? So it's the same thing. You go for who you want to
He probably would. Charlie would probably invite you on TPUSA.
Okay.
But that's neither here nor there.
You know
there.
What I'm
she
saying.
Is the first
that was
lady.
A bad point.
No, I understand, but she's the first lady of the United States. She's part of the cultural zeitgeist.
Right, but
and
the
so
woman running the establishment.
Censorship. So it's
believe.
A little bit of cultural
it's a
censorship?
Censorship. I don't think so.
All right, look, I'm fine with it because it's free enterprise system. I believe in the free press. If they don't want to take her off it, but I think it's hypocrisy.
You're limiting people to what they can see and hear, so I guess that is censorship. But at the same time, I feel like it's her magazine. She, mm-hmm. I guess she's not trying to be unbiased.
Yeah, but I love Stephanie Grisham's statement, who's the comms director for the First Lady.
Oh, I love the statement she put out. Yeah.
Let's read it. To be on the cover of Vogue doesn't define Mrs. Trump. She's been there, done that long before she was First Lady. Her role as First Lady of the United States and all that she does is much more important than some superficial photo shoot and cover.
Right. I totally agree. But you know what annoys me more about the Anna Wintour thing, or just in general? It's not about censorship. It's about that she's completely and totally linked to her husband in every way, shape, and form. And that's you should take her as an individual. Just because she's married to him doesn't mean she agrees with every single thing he says or does. I actually believe it's probably the opposite. So it would be a nice way to get her voice out there to see what she really thinks about things, you know? So, like, you and I don't share a brain. You know, she doesn't share a brain with him. They're two different people. So just like they're overly associated.
Well, I mean, here's the thing I would say about our society now. It shouldn't be this split. It shouldn't be that ideologically schismatic. There are so many people at your magazine, Ms. Wintour, that actually like the president and the first lady, but they are now afraid to admit that because of your
personality.
There are people inside of Hollywood that happen to like the president and the first lady, but they come up to me when I'm in Hollywood and say, "Shh, hey, I can't tell anybody I like Trump, but I really like Trump, but I don't want to lose my job as a key grip. I don't want to lose my job as a photographer or somebody that's on a stage somewhere." And so I think it's a form of censorship, and I think it's very bad, you know? So, all right, well, we are we're wrapping, and we're heading for spring break Disney World. And so the Mooch and the Misses will be back with a special guest next week.
But in the meantime, catch us on Twitter, Instagram. Anthony's starting to learn how to use Instagram, the old man that he is.
At Scaramucci. Got myself verified. Time to use it.
Nice.
All right,
See you next week.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.